Free Brooklyn.
Hello, hello. Welcome to New in New York on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, Susan Russo, and I'm very excited. Sorry the theme song isn't playing. Literally everything is broken again. So welcome back. But I'm pretty excited because I have a wonderful person on Zoom right now. His name is Joel David Almada, and he's a journalist. And I think, let's try. Joel, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Oh my goodness, I can. Yay, something is going right.
The magic of audio.
How are you doing this hot morning?
I'm good. It's so weird because I've been like on this weird sleeping schedule, which is like a late bird, but morning, like late night owl, but early bird schedule. So I sleep for like a total of 4 hours.
Oh no. How do you function? Yeah. How do you function properly?
Well, there's not much to function for. So luckily that's not been a problem so far. It's just, I think, strange. It's like a weird, like, quarantine sleep schedule.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I think everyone's lives are a little weird at the moment, so we do what we can. Okay, so I'm super excited. So Joel and I worked together 5 years ago, one of my first jobs here in New York. And then he left us.
Yes.
But so I want to talk about, because I actually don't think, if I know, I don't remember. I want to talk about how your path to New York, your first path to New York.
Yeah, because there's multiple now. So my first path, well, I'm from Paterson, New Jersey, which is like 30 minutes outside of the city.
Yes.
So my path to New York was always like really close and really, you know, right there. I grew up kind of wanting to be in LA, maybe.
No.
Trust me, I'm so on that. I'm so team New York. And I did that. And I spent my last semester in LA and I was like, oh, this is not for me at all.
Yeah.
and then kind of because of the path of the job that I got after college, I ended up going to New York and I got an apartment there. So it was always kind of like right there an option for me, and I never felt like I really knew it. But then I also wasn't really like exploring it fully. I kind of knew like Times Square and like Midtown. So once I moved in, that was like the door really, really opened. So it was because of a job.
Okay. And so where did you land? What neighborhood?
I landed in Harlem. So like it was 109th and Columbus.
Okay.
Or Amsterdam. So it was like Morningside Heights, like Harlem. But okay, then I just kept getting higher into Harlem.
Okay. Okay. So then what was your job? What was your first job here?
Yeah, so my first job was a digital producer at Live with Kelly and Michael.
Stop it. So fun.
Yeah. It was fun. It was very strange because at that time in my life, I was like, I definitely want to do talk TV. Like, talk TV is where I want to be.
Yeah.
And then to get, like, on the number one talk show in the country. R.I.P. Regis, we just lost
Seems like a real good one. Like, he was a good one.
He is. I mean, I was there when it was Kelly or Ben Michael Strahan. And even then, like, we just lived right across the street, basically, from the WABC studios.
Oh.
And he would come all the time and not even being a part of the show, you know. But that was like his baby. He created that show. He created that template. And now, you know, every talk show is based off of what Regis created. So I definitely wanted to take that little moment of time, you know, a legend, really. We lost a legend.
And
that legend created the door that led to, you know, my first career move. So I'm really appreciative of that. And, you know, much love to him and his family and all of the lives he affected.
He lived a good life, I have to say. I'm happy for him. I know it's always sad when someone passes, but gosh darn it, he lived a happy, fun, amazing life, I would say.
So full of joy. Like, he would come and visit. He would sit in on the meetings. Like, everyone would gather around him. Like, just a wonderful energy.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so your first commute was from Harlem to ABC, which I feel like that's nice.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I had to take at that time, the first time when I was on 109th, the closest stop was 110. And so I had to take the C. So it was like a non-express commute.
Oh, that's lots of snacks.
Yeah, it was like annoying. But that was chill, honestly. And so, yeah, that commute wasn't terrible, okay. But it wasn't like great either.
What did you know about Harlem before you got there?
So little.
Okay.
And I think like most areas like Harlem, you know, Queens and the Bronx and even in neighborhoods, like I'm from an inner city. Patterson is like what people would call a ghetto. Like,
really?
And, yeah. And the, you know, the biggest thing is that like the misconception of the people that live there and the misconception of the way that life is lived. So the same misconceptions that I got about Patterson, even going to school, like when I went to school in Boston, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of people from New Jersey. And then I would say I was from Patterson and they'd be like, oh, well, how'd you get out? Like if,
like, really?
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, okay. So a lot of those same misconceptions were placed on Harlem. So, and are still placed on Harlem, even though Harlem is like pretty gentrified at this point in time. And I feel like it still gets those, that rep.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I learned a lot about it. I learned, you know, that it had this really surprising queer history.
With the balls. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the voguing and all that stuff started like in uptown Manhattan. So I didn't know any of that. And then I obviously now it's like very different from before. So now there's like restaurants and cafes and all that stuff is really cute. But there's a big creative energy there. There's a big creative, like, and there's a very diverse like population there. So they're young people of color, creatives. So I think I wasn't expecting all of that. Mm-hmm. And so when I found all of that, I really, really felt at home. And I found myself never wanting to, I was like never one of these tiny Brooklyn people.
that's pretty great though. Cause I feel like finding a community in New York that you like enjoy being in is so important. And if you live in that community, gosh, that's the easiest. That's like so nice.
Yeah, it is really nice. And what's awesome is that now that I'm moving back in a week, I'm moving right back into Harlem on 143rd.
Oh, that's so, it's so like, great.
It's literally like a block away from a coffee shop that I used to frequent. And I'm just like dropping right back into the same little hub, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about your departure and then return. But first, I want to play a song. So, and I want you to be in charge. What do you think is the most like connects to your initial move to New York? What do you think is on the playlist that's your most connected?
Oh God, now for some reason I'm forgetting them. Well, obviously, like, I mean, I'm such a Harlem guy, so I think I have like a Diddy song on there. Diddy's from Harlem. So I tried to put like a few Harlem representatives there.
Yes,
so.
You got Last Night by, it Keisha? Keisha Cole.
And, yeah.
Okay, let's play that and then we'll talk about it when we get back.
Yeah.
Last night, I couldn't even get an answer. I tried to call, but my pride wouldn't let me die. And I'm sitting here this blank expression, and the way I feel, I wanna curl up like a child.
I know you can hear me.
expression.
Nice, nice. That was last night. Keisha Cole and Diddy. Nice choice, my friend.
Well, I feel like Diddy is like when I tried to pick some songs that were like true to me, but also like, you know, reaches out like a large net, casts a large net. I feel like Diddy is one of those people that everyone likes.
Yeah. Okay. So being from Jersey, how much time did you spend growing up, like coming into the city?
I didn't spend a lot of time coming into the city. So it was, my parents are kind of like, mostly my mom really is very, like she's like a homebody. So she's not like the let's do things kind of mom. She's like the let's bake inside kind of mom.
Okay. Okay. So she wasn't like, we're going down to...
My dad is a little bit more adventurous, but so we didn't spend too much time. We did do a few trips here and there, but I feel like my knowledge of like the broader scape of New York City, like outside of Midtown, was very limited.
Okay. So when you got here for real and you had your apartment, how long did it take for you to feel like you got it or like you'd figured it out? Because I think it takes forever. Like, I thought it took forever.
I think, I don't know, with New York City, it took me a while in terms of, like, getting the subway and getting directions. I'm very directions-averse for some reason.
Okay.
Like, I'm so geographically challenged, and I'm a traveler, so it's, like, weird. But in terms of, like, feeling... like I belonged in New York, that happened fairly quickly. I think that now I'm like such a New Yorker, and I was kind of surprised at how instantly I felt kind of at home in New York.
That's pretty sweet. That's nice. Like
it is sweet. I think it's got this energy, you know what I mean? It's got this energy that I just related to instantly. I just felt like, okay, there's energy surging through the pavement and stuff. So I feel like that just really connected with me. And that once I felt that kind of vibe, I felt really at home. Even like on a slow day, like it feels like something's going on.
Okay. So, but you have to have had, this is one of my favorite questions because I get some weird answers or really funny answers.
Yes.
Was there a moment like where you stood out like a sore thumb? Like you did something and you're like, oh my God, everyone knows I'm not.
A loser. So many things. Obviously, like, I feel like, you know, the people that live on the subways, when they see you get on and off the train a million times, checking their phone, making sure that you're on the right train, like that always looks it. Or my favorite is like when you get on the wrong train and you have to come back and then get off at the same stop and that same person is right there. And I'm like, oh God.
Do you think people remember?
I think people laugh about it for the rest of the day, and then they're like, unless you do something really dumb, unless you like fall on your face or something, and then they like tell it to someone else they see that day, they're like, oh my God, you'll never know. You never guess what I saw today. Like those are probably slightly more memorable, but I feel like they internally laugh about it for at least a day. Like,
so are you, so you left New York?
Yes, I did.
So how long were you, did you live here? And then when did you leave?
I was in New York City for 3 years. And then I left. I left for a whole host of reasons. I was at Live and that was great. But I went to school for journalism and I wanted to be a journalist. And so it wasn't quite what I was doing at Live. I mean, what I was doing at Live was fun and it was amazing, but I wanted to be like out, you know, creating stories. And that wasn't the job.
Right.
So I felt like I needed to leave and I ended up leaving and I took a serving job. And then I moved back home to Patterson so that I could travel.
So, oh, that's smart.
I mean, at the time, I felt dumb.
Did it feel like a step backwards, maybe? Or like...
I don't know if it felt like a step backwards, because I felt like... I mean, I was interviewing at a ton of places, and none of the jobs that I was seeing were really jobs that I wanted. And I also felt like, you know, I'd spent 3 years creating content for Instagram and for Facebook and a website, which is great experience if I wanted to continue on in that direction.
Sure.
But I didn't want to continue on in that direction.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like an actual journalist, and I didn't have any work that reflected my skills in that way.
Gotcha.
So I felt like a step forward, yes, because I was like, okay, well, I need to prove that I can do this. But it was scary because I had no, you know, it was just me. And I was moving back home, which I said that I would never do. And even like when I asked my parents, they were like, what the fuck? Like, sorry, I don't know if I can curse.
Totally allowed. Cussing is very allowed.
Okay, perfect. And so everyone was shocked. And I was like, yeah, I'm moving back home. But I did it. And I've been here for about 3 years, which will come to an end on a Saturday.
So now what motivated the move back to Manhattan? Or, well, yeah, Manhattan, if you're going to Harlem.
Yeah. So many things. Obviously, this terrible, terrible situation that the world is in. Well, the reason I moved here, back here, was because, you know, it was beneficial for me at that time. It was, you know, I found this great serving job, which was like paying me like double what I was getting paid at Live, just like serving.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were really sweet, and they would let me go away whenever I wanted to, and I could come back home. There was a bus that dropped me off like right on the block of my house, right in front of Port Authority. Like, it all worked out. But now that we're not sure what's going to happen with travel anymore, like, it might not be safe for a couple more years.
Right.
It's not really beneficial for me to be living here anymore. I don't know what's going to happen with my serving job. So it just felt like I was here for no reason, kind of.
Yeah.
And as much as I love my parents, and I'm so lucky to have, you know, there are so many people that wish they could commute home into the city, but they don't live close enough or whatever the situation is. So I'm like really, really lucky that that worked out for me. But it just felt like time, you know, it felt like time, and it felt like the universe was like, okay, like, this is it. Like, and you know, it's going to play out however it's going to play out. It's been 3 years. I used the situation for as long as I could already.
Yeah. It's time to come back. So
time to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're listening to New in New York on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, Susan Russo, and we're talking with Joel David Almada, who's lived in the city. He went away from the city, and he's coming back to the city. So we're going to keep talking to him, but I want to play another song.
Yay.
You're in charge, sir.
Ooh, okay. How about let's do it a little sad song, like Manhattan by Sarah Bareilles.
Okay, let's do it.
You can have Manhattan. I know it's for the best. I'll gather up the avenues and leave them on your doorstep. And I'll tiptoe away so you won't have to say you heard me leave. You can have Manhattan. I know it's what you want. The bustle and the buildings, the weather in the fall. And I'll bow out a place to save you some space for somebody new. You can have Manhattan. I can't help you.
Joelle making me cry over here on a Sunday morning. That's just garbage, Joelle. What's wrong with you?
I want to go on record by saying crying on a Sunday morning sounds like it could be a Sarah Bareilles song.
Oh my gosh. Now I have a new project. I'm going to write a song and send it to Sarah Bareilles and see what happens.
That was, you know,
heartbreaking.
It's such a beautiful song. I'm such a fan of the heartbreak song. Like, I love a good heartbreak song, and I lean into that type of shit. And
it's good. It's healthy. It's healthy.
It's so healthy.
Right?
It's so healthy. And I just felt like New York, obviously, like, you have a ton of heartbreaks sometimes. And I associate those kind of, like, big heartbreaks kind of with New York a little bit.
Yeah. Did you have any heartbreaks when you lived here?
Yes, for sure. And I think it's the only time that I've ever had real heartbreak. I'm not a big relationship person.
Okay.
I'm not like a big dating person. But I think that in New York, I felt like a little bit more datey than anywhere else.
There's so many people everywhere, maybe helps. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think also too, like the selection of people, like here in Patterson, like, I mean, there are great guys here too, but I don't know. It just feels like dating is more accessible, I guess, in New York City.
Yeah.
Maybe because I relate to it a little more. But yeah, I mean, I had my first real boyfriend in New York City. And that ended amicably, but still, obviously, like, heartbreak is heartbreak.
Sure.
And that was, like, my first time really experiencing, like, I was, like, upset at work. Like, I was like, this apartment situation that I was living in at that time was awful. Like, that was a rough time to be going through, like, a first breakup. So that song, and then one of the other songs that I have on the list, really helped me through that time.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You know what I was thinking? This is such a, I mean, it's kind of sad thought, but like, I think in New York breaks your heart. Like, New York has broken my heart constantly, and then it heals it and makes it even bigger, like five minutes later, but not really that quickly. But I feel like that's just part of the deal. When you move to New York, you're like, okay, I'm going to get stomped on. I'm going to get stomped on. So, and I hate to, I just like to remind people that everyone gets stomped on here. You know, it's not like you're special. Like, it's not like it's coming after you. New York is just a stomper of hearts and backs and like all of the things.
Yeah. Oh, no, it totally is. And I think that, you know, even, you know, when I moved here was partially for, you know, like I said before, like I wanted to really expand my journalistic, you know, repertoire, but I was kind of breaking up with New York a little bit as well. Like, it did feel like it was too much for me at that moment in time. I felt like I said, like everything was coming around me. I was like unsure about where my job was taking me. I was not happy with the apartment situation that I was living in. And I felt like I was spending so much money on my apartment, where at that time, now looking back on it, I realized that, you know, an apartment wasn't necessarily the top priority that I wanted.
Right.
Even though it's very glamorous and it seems like, you know, the thing that you want. But when I started spending my money on travel, I realized that this is really kind of where the majority of my money felt better to go towards than just an apartment.
Right.
So yeah,
it's like priorities. You have to prioritize things, especially in the city, because it is expensive. And so it's like, what do you really want to do?
Yeah. And if you don't really, if it's not really giving you everything that you want it or that you need it to, then it's going to feel like crap.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, this time is so weird because we're like, as a New Yorker, you have this apartment and the reason you have it is so you can sleep there. And in general, you're out and about and doing all these things. And now it's like we're living and all of our time is spent in our apartments. And it's a very strange feeling because it's like the antithesis of why we live in New York, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have yet to experience that aspect of it because I've been here at home.
So thank your lucky stars for that one. Seriously. You know,
well, honestly, I'm ready to do that. I mean, like, I would at least rather be stuck at home in New York City than stuck at home in Patterson.
Fair. Totally fair. Because you can leave your house and, like, take a walk, and it's probably more interesting to see things in.
For sure. It's definitely harder to do things. Like, if at least in New York City, I could like take the subway and go somewhere, or like, or all my friends are in the city, I could like social distance hang. Like, here, I'm just like, I take an Uber somewhere, that like the accessibility is different. And the only real people that I have to hang out with are like my mom and dad.
Who are lovely people.
Who are great human beings. I love them so much. But, you know,
I get it. I think everyone with parents, which means everyone, pretty much gets that feeling. So I want to do what you love, what you hate, and then what you love. Like, do one, a positive, negative, positive.
Yeah. So I love the coffee shop selection.
Yes.
I'm a big coffee person, so I love trying like little small business.
Did you have one? Coffee. Did you have like a local, like your favorite when you lived in Harlem?
Yes, Manhattanville on 142nd. And I'm not sure what the street is because it was like a fork. So I'm not sure what the name of it, but it's called Manhattanville. Now they're like a little bigger than just a mom and pop shop because now they have another location like further uptown.
Expanding.
Okay. Yeah, they are. And we love that story. And what I hate is, I guess, oh my God, I hate. And I'm going to be going back to this. So I hate like the subways in the summer, like so hot. And one time I read this, I think it was like a Thrillist article that said that the 145th train station was like one of the hottest in the city in the summer. And that's going to be my, I mean, it was my stop before, and now it's going to be my stop again. And I'm not looking forward to that aspect.
Oh, yeah. The subways in the summer, literally, I've been so close to just taking off all of my clothes because I feel like I could, and no one would really care.
No one would care.
Because it's just so uncomfortable. I sweat a lot. I'm not single, guys, so back off. Yeah. I'm a sweater.
Yeah. No, I am too. And you end up going everywhere sweaty. And it's just like horrible. Like work or whatever it is that you're going to, you look like a slob. So you really have to dress accordingly.
Totally. And naked feels like proper to me at certain points in the subway.
At this point, I would not shame anyone for coming anywhere naked.
Maybe underwear. I don't know. We'll just keep on underwear. Okay, so I get that. That's a total hate. Very sensible hate. And then finally, another love.
Another love would have to be... Ooh, there's so many things.
Honestly. I know. This is hard.
I think it's the unique combination of the walkability of New York City, but also its ability to change. So as someone who travels a lot, a ton of cities are walkable, but New York has this uncanny ability to be able to like walk one day and then walk another day. And then like something is completely different. Like it just changes like in the blink of an eye, and it just makes walking so much more like worth it, I guess.
Sure.
That's kind of like, obviously, there's a ton of not nice stuff about everything going on right now. But
yes.
And, you know, there are a lot of businesses closing, unfortunately. Hopefully, the bright silver lining for that is that we're going to see a lot of new opportunities for people that haven't had the opportunity to set up their businesses to use that time now. And it'll just keep, you know, adding to that spirit of New York where things are changing and you see things different.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I feel like the city is so built from the ground up. And so it's going to be a time to build again from the ground up and see what amazing things can happen from the amazing people that live here. Like you said, people getting opportunities that might not have had them before. So it's exciting. This time is scary and horrible, but there's an excitement to it if we can do things right, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think we've seen time and time again that New Yorkers are resilient.
Very much.
And the people that live there. And it's not just like a born in New York attitude. It's definitely like a, if you make it there, like if you live there, you have to be resilient in any way, shape, or form in a lot of different, in your everyday life.
Totally.
So to see that resilience shine through, hopefully like it will at a time like this, after this. I mean, it has already, you know, we New York was like at the top of the list, and now it's doing so much better.
Go New York, wear your masks, wear your masks.
Wear your fucking mask. I cannot.
Not so hard, not hard at all.
Like, it really isn't that hard at all. I mean, if you're living in New York City and making it by paying rent, like that is so much harder than just wearing a mask.
Oh, hell yes. Joel, that is so freaking true. Like everyone in this city, that should be the easiest thing they do all month, you know? Like,
I don't understand, but I mean, I don't even want to talk about the factors that create non-maskers, anti-maskers, but please, just like, it's not that hard. It really isn't. And we could get over this so much faster.
Exactly. So again, Radio Free Brooklyn. That's what you're listening to. If you want to listen 24/7, even when you're away from your computer, you can do that, Lucky Devils. So if you have an iPhone, you can download our free mobile app in the App Store. Or if you have an Android, you can get it in the Google Play Store. So then you get 24/7 Radio Free Brooklyn content, which you know you want. I'm talking to Joel David Ahumada, who has been a lovely guest. And yay. I want to keep talking, but I also have to play songs. So we're going to do another one. And you're in charge because...
Yes. I think I'm going to do, this is my number one artist ever, Mariah Carey. And I was lucky enough to meet her at my time at Live.
How cool was that job? I feel like I want to talk to you for like 4 hours about that job.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. It was cool. It was definitely very, very cool. Do you want to talk about it now? Or
after no. Let's talk about it. Let's play your Mariah's song. Yes.
Yeah. I think there's a Harlem shout out in here in this song too. So.
Well, because it's Fantasy featuring ODB.
Yes.
Fabulous. Let's do it. Woo.
Keeping it real, son.
That's right.
The shining star. You're my shining star, girl. Yo, New York in the house. Cool. It's Brooklyn in the house.
That's right.
Uptown in the house.
Let's go.
Shaolin, are you in the house?
Don't stop.
Boogie Down, are you in the house?
Yeah.
Sacramento in the house.
I like
Atlanta, Georgia, are you in the house?
Come on.
West Coast, are you in the house? Japan, are you in the house? Everybody, are you in the house? Baby, baby, come on. Baby, come on. Baby, come on.
When you walk by every night, talking sweet and looking fine, I get kind of hectic inside. Baby, I'm so into you. Darling, if you only knew all the things that float through my mind. But it's just
come on.
What you gonna do?
Another top hit. That was awesome, Joelle. Good pick, good pick. If that didn't get you out of bed this Sunday morning, I don't know what will.
Yes.
Oops, we almost heard a second song. Making all the, you know, anyway.
No complaints.
Okay, so back to Mariah. I just want to hear about the meeting at the live show.
Ooh, it's so funny. Because there's so many, like, this is like a roundabout story because, you know, we're encouraged not to, like, you know, hassle the guests, obviously.
Sure.
Mariah is my number one. So that was like the one person where I was like, if she comes, like, I'm going to be shameless. Like, I'm going to ask for a photo and everything. So she was first booked on a show where we were doing a remote shooting in Disney for a week. So I was like, oh my God, but I was not set to go to Disney.
Okay.
So I was like, oh,
broken.
This sucks. Yeah. I was like, this is terrible. Then like 2 days before the show was going to Disney, my executive producer was like, okay, you can come to Disney. And I was like, so I'm like, oh my God, yes, Mariah. Oh my God, this is a story.
I love it.
So then we're in Disney, you know, we're having fun, we're doing the rides. And then my friends that I was there with, that I worked with, were on Tower of Terror. And I was like, I think I'm not going to go. So I'm just going to walk around and I'll come back after you get on the ride. And all I hear is like, Joelle. And I turn around and it's Kelly Ripa. And she's like, and I'm like, what? And she's there with this guy, Jake Shears, who's like in the band Scissor Sisters.
Yes.
And she's like, come with us. Like, so it's the three of us and like a Disney guide, and everyone's like, like, and then she eventually drags me onto the Tower of Terror twice. And so we go to dinner afterwards, and then she's like, and then I mentioned Mariah Carey, and she's like, oh my God, I'll introduce you, like, blah, blah, like, all that stuff. And then she gets there like 10 minutes before I'm supposed to leave to go back to New York.
Oh, wow.
So we like miss each other like this.
Stop
which
it.
Is so horrific. But I get to meet her.
That's heartbreak.
Makeup
That's heartbreak.
It was terrible. I get to meet her makeup artist, Christopher. And I was like, okay, well, this is great. And then I think it was like another year before she came back on the show. And then she was downstairs in one of the green rooms, and I saw Christopher and I was like, oh my God, can I meet her? And he was like, absolutely, like, just wait here. And so I waited what had to be, because she was doing an interview with like the local station, the local ABC station.
Okay.
What was probably like 2 hours outside of her door while she did this thing. And my boss is like, where are you? And I'm like,
emergency meeting.
Yeah. And so then, yeah, I got to meet her and she was like, hi. And it was like so wonderful. And I got the picture, and that was just great because I was like, I just didn't even know how to feel. Cause I was like, this is one. I mean, she's, since I was a little kid, I loved her, you know? And
yeah. But so this was based off, like, this was your first job, right?
Yes.
Like, how amazing is it to move to New York because you get to work at Live with Kelly and Michael Strahan?
Yeah, that was surreal.
That's exactly, exact word I was looking for.
and the way that I got it was very twisted. Like, in college, I went to school at Emerson College in Boston.
For people who aren't in TV, that's a very, it's a media savvy, very
prestigious
school. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really big deal. It definitely, like, you know, everyone who works in media or in theater is like, oh, of course, Emerson. And it has a really good reputation that follows you, which is really beneficial.
Helpful. Super helpful.
Yeah. And so I was there, I had this one professor who I was like not in love with at the beginning, but then, you know, she turned out being one of the ones that taught me the most, you know, life.
The movie. That's a movie.
Yeah, exactly. I was in this phase at that moment in time where I was like, I want to do entertainment. Like, I'm the entertainment journalist student.
Yes.
And she was like not with it, but she invited me to this conference in Florida, where you got to meet a bunch of news directors. I ended up meeting one of the digital people at Live at the time, when it was just Live with Kelly right before Michael joined.
Got it.
in an elevator. And then we hit it off. We became friends on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Then I graduated. She saw that, whatever. And then she got a job somewhere else. And I guess Michael Gelman, who's the executive producer mm-hmm. of Alive, and asked her for resumes. She gave him mine. And at that time, I had just, you know, finished graduating. I was home kind of doing the job search the normal way. And I was working at like a public television station in Montclair, which is a town close to Patterson. So just doing free shit.
Of course.
And I got a call and it was like, hi, like, can you come in an interview? And I was like, what? Like,
you didn't even know this was in the works.
I didn't know this was in the works. It was
best
obviously
surprise.
Victoria. Yeah. And I went in, I interviewed, and then the next day I got hired. And then the next day I went in.
That's so great.
It's so great because it was like nothing. It was so, the caliber of that job was so out of everything else that I was looking at
right.
in terms of like what I thought I could do,
yeah.
you know, like I was like, oh, local stations or like, oh, some other stuff that I had applied to, but I would, you know, this is the number one talk show in the country. I was not expecting like that to be my first job.
That's the crazy part. Like your launching pad is this crazy experience for this so successful most successful
franchise.
Like it's like, crazy.
Yeah,
it's kismet. You were meant to be there.
Yeah. I definitely was. I definitely feel like it was you know, fate. Something to look back at, you know. It's very hard to think of, like, you know, leaving a position like that. And also too, my mom and dad were like not really into it.
Didn't make very much sense to them, but like you knew you don't make snap decisions. Like you knew
yeah.
what you needed to do.
Like by the time I had told my dad, I was already thinking about it for like a month. And my dad was born and raised in Colombia, and immigrant parents are not into like leaving jobs with no plan, kind of. Like.
I've heard a rumor about that.
Yeah. And so he was like not with it. And then, yeah, it was an interesting time.
Well, I think you're smart enough to know what you want for yourself. And so, and like I always say, TV's not going anywhere. Like you can always come back and do the social for whoever, because you've got the experience. So nothing is final. That's my thing. Like I've got so many thoughts in my heavy, hot brain right now. It's so overwhelmed. But anyway, so I just wanted to remind us all that you are listening to New in New York on Radio Free Brooklyn. And I know this is a very, it's a weird, hard time right now for everyone. And this is hard, but, you know, Radio Free Brooklyn is in the same boat. We're in tough time. So if you are able and can afford in any way to make a small donation, it would go a long way to helping us stay on the air. And there's three easy ways you can do this. First, you can give a one-time or a monthly donation by going to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. And when you're there, you'll see some t-shirts, some mugs, and other swag that we'd like to send you to say thanks for your donation. You can also use your phone to text RFBGIVE5 to 44321. It takes a minute and you'll be able to use your digital wallet for the donation. Quick and easy. And finally, if you shop on Amazon every once in a while for your emergency, you know, shop local in general, but every once in a while emergencies happen. If you use Amazon, you can go to amazon.com/smile and register Radio Free Brooklyn as the nonprofit you wish to support. Because when you do, a percentage of your sales will go to Radio Free Brooklyn and cost you nothing. And yeah, it's tough. I know everyone's asking for money, so I hate to do it, but I also love this content and love there's such great shows here. So anyway, we're coming to the end of this hour and I'm sad because I feel like Joelle has stories for days.
Like, I could definitely talk without end for for a long time.
And not just talk, but like good stuff, like things people
thanks.
Would actually want to listen to. So, you know, before COVID started, my question I would ask people is, what would you tell someone who was thinking about moving to New York? But I switched that because I feel like right now the world is so messy. I don't really want to encourage anyone to do anything
yeah.
like move.
Yeah.
Of course, Joel, you should. You're in Patterson. It's very close. This was your home before. It's going to be your home again in a very soon amount of time. But my new in COVID last question is, you know, I moved to New York because I needed it. I needed to be in this city. But it got me thinking, like, why does New York need me? And I'm still thinking of my answer, but I'm curious what you think, Joelle. Like, why do you think New York City needs you?
That is very interesting. I think kind of like the whole story of what we've been talking about, where I left to kind of like discover my journalistic voice. Now that it's been kind of like 3 years since I did that, I definitely feel like I have developed my journalistic voice, and mm-hmm. I definitely feel a lot more confident in what I have to contribute in that field. And so I actually have been like interviewing for a couple of journalism positions in the culture sphere. So I definitely feel like now at this time where cultural stories are more necessary and where we need to hear voices that have been overlooked for such a long time, I definitely feel like, and you know, we're having these conversations about how can we contribute to the movement? How can we, you know, make the world a better place? I honestly think that me telling those stories of underrepresented communities is the way that I'm supposed to contribute to that movement.
So important. It's so true and so important.
Yeah. And I think that that's being in the city is the way I have to do it. I've done it kind of like on a global scale here, but now that I can move back in the city, I can have a little bit more leniency in like doing interviews on my own, even if I don't secure a position. Cause I already have that knowledge. I've already been creating on my own. It's just about stepping back into that creative, you know, zone.
Right.
So hopefully some of those positions work out, but if not, I definitely feel like, you know, me being a culture journalist is how I can contribute to the movement. So that's why I think New York needs me at the moment.
That's the thing. I feel like you've got, this city needs voices like yours and to share stories of people who, like you said, have been unrepresented, are underrepresented for certain. But where can we find, like, if we go on Instagram, or where can we find some of your work, or what's the scoop?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm Joelle David, but two extra D's at the end. So it'll be a total of 3 D's at the end.
So JoelleDavidD.
Yes.
Oh.
Joelle David on Instagram. And then I also have a blog. It's called whereisheenowblog.com. So there you'll find essays and videos. And then on YouTube, I'm Joelle David Almada as well.
So explore that. Hire him. Tell him your stories. Let him tell your stories.
Yes, please hire me.
Okay, so we're closing out this episode of New in New York with your final song, Joelle. What do you think is the closing anthem we want for this?
I'm going to say, let's do Keep Your Head Up by Tupac.
Okay.
Who everyone associates with California, but was born in Harlem.
Did not know this. And that is a huge brain blower because I was certain he was the West Coast rapper. Anyway,
he adopted it.
Well, he did a good job because he fooled everyone.
Yeah.
But I want to say, Joel's list, I feel like I'm going to make a Spotify playlist because we didn't get to all the songs and it's really fun. Like, it's a good ass playlist. So
love music.
We're going to end with Keep Your Head Up, Tupac. And thank you, Joel, for being
thank
a guest on this
me.
Show. You were fabulous.
Thanks, you are too.
Okay. Well, I'll see you. Well, I'll talk to you next Sunday, listeners. Thanks for tuning in yet again. Okay. Keep your head up. Yeah, keep your head up. Everybody, keep your head up right now.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne. Some say the black of the belly, the sweet of the juice. I say the dark of the flesh and the deep of the root. I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. But please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to gas you up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a mess. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder
while we take from our women, while we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, ladies, but keep your head
up.
I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the kettle didn't seem so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I huffed and puffed about my curfew and broke the rules. Ran with the local crew and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give her was my pipe dream of how I rock the mic and make it to the right. Trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. It's hard to be legit and still pay your rent. And in the end, it seems I'm heading for the pen. I try to find my friends, but they're blowing in the wind. Last night, my buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man in me to conquer this insanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I try to keep my head up and still keep from getting wetter. You know, it's funny when it rains, it pours. They got money for wars, but can't feed the poor. Said it ain't no hope for the youth. And the truth is, it ain't no hope for the future. And then they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a crack baby. We ain't meant to survive, cause it's a setup. And even though you're fed up,
you gotta be your head.